Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
All right. Today we have a special guest with us, Rod and Jenny Carlson, and they're with Living Logos Ministry. They've been traveling in America for, I believe, 23 years now. They have memorized entire books of the Bible and then substantial portions of Scripture from some of the big books, and they recite those as if they were the author, and they just talk about the importance of us hiding God's Word in our heart. And Rod called me a few weeks ago, and we were talking, and we're in our summer series in the book of Philippians, and he has the book of Philippians memorized, and so he's going to be sharing that today. And the thing about Philippians, it's kind of the coffee cup book of the Bible, when you think about it. A lot of the sayings you find on your coffee cup, it comes from Philippians, like, "My God shall supply all your needs." How many like that promise? All right? "To live is Christ, to die is gain. Rejoice in the Lord always. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Those verses are found in Philippians, but they're not just pithy sayings. They're rich in theology, and they're powerful for our life. And I just want to challenge you, as Rod is going to recite the book of Philippians today, it's kind of setting us up. We're just kind of in the beginning part of our series. We finished chapter one. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And in your worship program, there's a place on the back, and you have a pen in front of you. And I encourage you, as Rod is sharing the word, as the Holy Spirit just speaks one of the verses to you, or portion of verses, and says, "This is for you today." Maybe it's a promise of hope and comfort. Maybe it's a word of encouragement, inspiration, or challenge. Just write that down and let the Holy Spirit minister to you this week, all right? At the close, we're going to receive a love offering for them, and you can use, just make sure you, we'll give you instructions about that at the close of the service. But right now, I want you to help me in welcoming Pastor Rod Carlson with Living Logos with the book of Philippians.
We're going to ask you to Also, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to ask you to keep it closed.
What?
We will be presenting in the NLT, New Living Translation, first edition. If you have a different translation, you will probably spend the next 25 minutes comparing what's on your page and what you're hearing. It's not what we're here for today. We just want you to hear the Word of God in a way that perhaps you don't often hear it. And just let God talk to you a little bit about it. I assure you, it's the New Living Translation. You can take my word for it. Okay. I wrote it. Well, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. It's written to all of God's people in Philippi who believe in the Lord Jesus, and to the elders and deacons. May God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, give you grace and peace. Well, I thank God every time I think of you. I always pray for you, and I make my prayer with a heart full of joy, because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began the new work in you, will continue that good work until it's finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ comes back again. Now, it's right for me to feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. See, together we've shared the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others the good news about Christ. God knows how much I love you, and I long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love for one another will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in your knowledge and your understanding. Because I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news for everyone here, including all the guards, knows I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach with pure motives. They preach because they love me, because they know the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful for me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached. So I rejoice, and I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I would always be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and that my life would always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I don't really know which one is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live. Sometimes I long to go be with Christ. That'd be far better for me, but it is better for you that I live. So, convinced of this, I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then, when I return to you, you'll have all the more reason to boast of the things that Christ Jesus has done for me. But whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. Then, whether I come to see you again or just hear of you, I'll know that you're standing side by side, contending together for the good news. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. This is a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you've been given the privilege, not only to trust in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Look, we're in this fight together. You've seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know I'm still in the middle of this great struggle. Now, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Oh. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, considering others as better than yourself. Don't think only of your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Though he was God, he did not demand or cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. Nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Now, because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven, on earth, under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, dear friends, you've always been so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Now, in everything you do, stay clear of complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world filled with crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Hold tightly to the word of life so that when Christ returns, I'll be proud I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. And yet, even if my life is to be poured out like a drink offering to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, that is, if I'm to die for you, I rejoice. And I don't want to share my joy with all of you. You should be happy about this and rejoice with me. Well, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. Then when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me how you're all getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares for your welfare. The others care only for themselves, not for what matters to Christ Jesus. But you know how Timothy has proved himself like a son with his father. He's helped me in preaching the good news. Now I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. In the meantime, I thought I should send Epaphroditus home to you. True brother, faithful worker, and a courageous soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. Now I am sending him back to you because, well, he was very disturbed. He heard you heard he was ill, and indeed he was ill. He almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have such unbearable sorrow. So I'm all the more anxious to send him home to you because I know you'll be glad to see him, and that will lighten all my cares. Welcome him with Christian love and great joy. And be sure to honor people like him, for he risked his life for the work of Christ and was at the point of death while trying to do for me what you could not do because you were far away. Oh, whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you joy. I never get tired of telling you that. I'm doing this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs, those wicked men and their evil deeds, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence on human effort. We boast only about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yeah, I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So I'm a real Jew if there ever was one. Furthermore, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous, so I harshly persecuted the church. And I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully, I was never accused of any fault. I used to think all these things were so very important. Now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I've discarded everything else, considering it as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to follow the law. I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ. I really can know Christ. And experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I might experience the resurrection of the dead. Oh, dear friends, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or reached perfection, but I'm working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear friends, I'm not yet all I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us heavenward. Well, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree with me on these things. If you disagree on some point, I'm sure the Lord will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we've learned already. Oh, dear friends, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I tell you again with tears, that there are many whose conduct show they really are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells, and we are eagerly awaiting his return as our Savior. He will take these weak, mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own. With the same mighty power he will use to conquer everything everywhere. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, I love you, and I long to see you because you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. Now I must plead with those two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to Christ, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true coworker, to help these women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news, and they worked with Clement and the rest of my coworkers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice.
Amen.
Not bad. I'll say it again. Rejoice.
Amen.
Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And remember, the Lord is coming back soon. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done for you. If you will do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, let me say this one more thing before I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep on putting into practice the things you've heard from me and learned from me and seen me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh, how grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. Now, I know you've always been concerned for me, but for a while now, you haven't had the opportunity to help me. Not that I've ever been in need, for I've learned how to get along happily whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty, with little. See, I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. And yet you have done well to share with me in my present need. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news, then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Why, even in Thessalonica, when I was there, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a gift for your faithful generosity. At present, I've got everything I need. I've got more than I need. I've been generously supplied by the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet smelling sacrifice fragrance that is pleasing to God and that he accepts. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus. Now glory be to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to all of the Christians there. All of the brothers who are here with me send you their greetings. And all of the other Christians here also send you their greetings, especially those who work in Caesar's palace. I receive this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's pray. Grace upon grace. Father, you gathered these folks here to hear this message. It first came out of the Apostle Paul's mouth. And it pokes and prods us. And we want to respond to that poking and prodding. If you're here and you have never before taken the intentional step of trusting Christ for the issue of your sin and your life of failure and all of the disappointments and frustrations that you have faced, perhaps as a result, perhaps some self-inflicted, and you have a hard time coming to grips with yourself. And today, you've been hearing a sound. Maybe God's been yanking your chain a little bit, saying, June 21st, 2026 is your day to get right with me. And this is a golden opportunity. If that's you, and God's been stirring in your heart, and you know you need a Savior, you know that you need someone who can rescue you from yourself, our biggest enemy, often. Would you consider just raising your hand where you are? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, brother. The door's open. And there's real life living on, waiting on the other side. Anyone else? Tell you what, if you just bow your heads for a moment, keep your heads bowed, and I'd just like to talk to these two people, okay? His youngster and his brother. And to go from the kingdom of the world to kingdom of God is a very short step. And it starts with realizing you need Jesus. And then it goes to repentance. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm broken over it. And then the request. Lord, would you make me one of your children? So if you would, just pray with me this short prayer. And if you want to just pray along with me, you can. If you want to this is a heart issue. At some point, you'll share your new faith with somebody soon. But this is a heart issue today. So if you want to whisper this to Jesus, just say, Father in heaven, I'll make this short. I need you like nothing I've ever needed before. I've heard your word. In that, I've heard your invitation to come. And I'm here. And I'm asking you, because I'm so sorry for my sin. It's just been a large boulder around my spirit. And I surrender to you. I believe that you can cleanse me because you died for me one time. And it was only you who said I could come. And now it's thank you. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me into your kingdom. Open your heart to me and show me. And lead me into the life that you have prescribed for me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Yeah. Good response. Right response. The angels are having a party now. Why not get in on it? Amen. Oh, that's wonderful. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family, guys.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.